Come on. All right, here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Did you have Linus Ullmark in your top 10, Johnny?
I don't think I did.
Wow.
I don't think I'm not, I mean, I have to check. I mean, I did it just a week ago, so it's not.
Johnny hates goalies too, so that's it.
Well, yeah. You're like
Ray. You and Ray. It didn't matter. Yeah. It's all goal scorers and offensive
College stats. Players.
College players.
Anyone from Scarborough?
Yeah. Bowling Green College.
Any
of those things I like, yeah. No, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, it's the most important position in the league, on the team, and he's doing better than anyone else in the league, undoubtedly, at that. I mean, I guess he warrants top 10 consideration. You know, I guess the question is, like, how much of that is also driven by the team and how much is it him? But you cannot deny the stats. They are ridiculous. Now, Swayman's are really pretty good as well, other than his, you know, a couple of rocky starts. So, but yeah, I mean, having the fact that Ullmark is in that list is not, to me, quite as shocking, because goaltending generally is so impossible to predict. Like, you don't know. Like, Logan Thompson might, you know, could have been one of the best goalies. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen year to year. But Tage Thompson, to me, the fact that he was in the top five and deserves to be there, that is out of left field. I know we had a good year last year, but not this kind of year. So that one, to me, is was the shocker.
Yeah, hold on a second. Sorry, Johnny. Someone sent us a picture. That, and we're trying to stay on the rails.
We're trying to stay focused here.
Yeah, we're trying to stay focused.
But we've had an incident, but it's fine. But
anyway,
I agree with you. The fact that the numbers do, especially with a guy like Swayman. Like Swayman, I don't think he's played as well, and I don't think he's been as good a goaltender as Ullmark. But again, you've got a team that is, you know, how good is the team? How good is the goaltender? A combination of both. I struggle. I'll be honest. I struggled with that list because there are guys that I just want in there because I know how good they are, but they're not. Like Austin Matthews was a guy that I struggled with. I don't know how you felt, Johnny. I struggled with Austin.
He's ranked 23 on this list.
Right.
He was number two coming into the season, and TSN collectively has him at 23. So
I don't know if I had him in my top 25. He'd be right around the edge.
Yep.
You know, and I guess that's the curiosity. Like, did you have Mitch Marner on your list? Did you have William Nylander on your list? And if so, were they both higher than Austin Matthews?
Right.
And now Austin's year has not been bad at all. It's essentially almost the same points and goals as Nylander. And yet Nylander, you know, comfortably is inside whatever he was, 16 or 17 or something like that. And then Austin below him, when Austin is undoubtedly a better defensive player as well, even with the list production, I think it's almost more you're being hypercritical of Austin Matthews because he is so good and the standard he set has been so high.
That's what it was. He set the bar so high last year that it's tough to live up to every year. We know that. But it's just, I'm looking at him going, yes, good season. But we saw an amazing season 6 months ago. So you're that's the bar he set for me.
So did McDavid and Drysdale, and they're 1-2.
Yeah, but like McDavid's now.
McDavid's on a different level, but
McDavid keeps building on what he's doing.
Right, exactly. But like Drysdale and Matthews, like I think McDavid's on his own, and then I would have a list that would include Drysdale, Matthews, MacKinnon, McCarr, you know, in terms of just building a team today, not based on what we've seen through 50 games. But Drysdale, every single year, you know, game one is in the top five, game 50 is in the top five, game 82 is, like, he is consistently in the top five.
Yeah,
always.
Outside of injuries, I mean, that's one thing, right?
Yes.
You hear Drysdale today, he's like, now he can be hard on himself, but in the media availability at All-Star, he's like, I haven't played well in the first half. Like, I'm not happy with how I've played. Now, some of that might be lip service, but like so much of the offense for those big numbers for Connor and Leon is on the power play. And I do think Leon thinks he can be better 5-on-5 in the remaining 30-something games that they have to play because, you know, does Connor have 35 power play points, 40 power play points? Like, their power play numbers are staggeringly huge because I know their power play runs through the two of them, and it's unstoppable, it seems.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. And I feel like Drysdale especially, doesn't care about stats anymore. Like, I think that he's done, been there, done it. I feel like he found maybe a sweet spot of what he expects out of himself in last year's playoffs. And that's the internal bar that he might have set, going, I know I'm capable of this. I know I've won a heart. I've been right there. Like, it's more about what can I do kind of for success as a team. And both of those guys are hungry out there, and that's the same type of attitude that the guys have to have here in
Toronto.
Well,
and they do in Toronto. I mean, right. I saw the quote from Nylander a couple of days ago where I feel for the Leafs in a way because they're paralyzed by the playoffs and the lack of success, and I get the impression they're terrified to acknowledge any regular season success or having fun. Like, Willie went out of his way to be like, I don't care, we just got to win. It's like, come on, Willie. Like, you're having a career year, man. You can admit that. Say you're having a great year. Even say you should be at the All-Star game. I'd back you on that. You should be. But, like, Matthews has done it. Marner's done it. You could have an 11-point night, and they'd come out and say, well, it doesn't matter. We got to do what we're doing in the playoff. Like, they can't breathe publicly right now. Feels that way.
I hope that privately they're able to enjoy the journey.
Yes.
Because it's hard, right? Like, it's hard, it's arduous, it's tiring, and like, you need to be able to celebrate the successes, and if all you are is like ho-humming every time you do something good, like, that makes it that much longer a season and that much harder to kind of keep your joy. Why they do it, and I get why if they came out and did exactly what you say, it's like, nah, I mean, I love it. I want to score 50. I'm chasing it. I'd love to do that. Everyone's like, well, look at these guys, selfish, all they care about. Like, you know, you could see the reaction, so I know why they do it, but hopefully privately, like in their own minds, in their own heads, they are being able to enjoy another tremendous year certainly for Nylander and Marner.
Yeah, I'm struggling. Like I said, I've told this to O and to Hayes. I struggle to put that 25 game list or 25 player list together because I left off some unbelievable players.
Oh yeah,
that like
Vasilevsky.
I left Saros, Vasilevsky, Barkov, Tuck. You know, Hyman and RNH are having unbelievable.
Yeah, I had Hyman on my list.
I didn't have them on my list. Pedersen, I left off my list.
You know what,
Johnny? What Hayes does is every good player. He goes, I had him on my list.
Yeah, I know. 40 guys. 75 players on his list.
Yeah, I had everybody.
To broadcast his list.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. It doesn't. I had Pavel Zacha on my list. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, he was a big rap. Did you hear the reaction of the Boston radio guy when he scored his goal?
No.
That's why he was a first round pick in 2018. I'm like, that's 5 years ago. Or he was 16. I'm like, you can't reference a top talent from 7 years ago because he happened to score a wrist shot that went under the bar. It was a ridiculous call. It was
stoppable
tremendous.
Puck, too.
One that probably should have been saved anyways. But I did have Hyman as my 25th guy because of the year he's having. And I'm like, well, maybe it's power play. But I look, he's like top 12 in the league in 5-on-5 points. And he's got 26 goals.
Right.
Like, you know, if it's not about who's a better player, but who's just played better. And I know he does it because he plays with those guys. But, man, I did put him as 25 on my list. I do remember that.
There you go.
Johnny, you're down at the All-Star game. I don't know what you think of it, but we all love watching hockey. I can't do it. I think it's too gimmicky. I just want East versus West. Are they ever going to change it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think the All-Star game is for you, though. You're too nuanced and like wise of a viewer. Like, it's for young people. It's for new fans. It's certainly for the corporate sponsorship because everything about the game is corporately done. You know, if you want to make it pure, then you can't have every team be represented, and you can't pop the 3-on-3. But I also think having the game look like it does, even though it might not appeal to you, I bet it appeals to the players who are actually playing the game. They don't want to play 5-on-5. They don't want to play a 4-3 game. Like, let's go out there, skate around, lots of open ice, we'll trade some breakaways, call it a day, and go home. Like, you're trying to balance the corporate responsibilities while growing the game to fans who are not yet diehard fans of the game, which is not what you are, and then also, you know, cater to the players who don't want anything hard about this weekend, anything real about the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's far down the list in terms of what you want to see change and what is likely to change. I mean, that's been a big discussion the last couple of days. Johnny Bettman, his 30th anniversary yesterday, and everyone's got a take, right? Everyone, if they were commissioner for a day, they'd change something. How would you answer that question? What role would you play?
Yeah, well, for the two things, so there's also been something about the viewership in the States not being quite as high, and I'm like, you got to look at the numbers a little more closely because when it's not quite as obvious as the way the article presented itself. But if I was commissioner for a day, I'm not sure what I would do. I think I would probably, you guys will hate this, but I would be inclined to empower the refs to call the rule book as it's written.
What does that even mean?
Just a ton of penalties.
Initially there would be a lot of penalties. Yeah, there would. But I think the teams that learn faster will be more successful.
Johnny, isn't there enough penalties as there is? It's a special teams practice every night.
Maybe for you. I think if the rules are that way, figure it out how to take fewer penalties, and you give yourself a much better chance of winning.
See,
I don't think it's fair to be like, well, they call a lot of penalties, so we're going to let a whole bunch of infractions go because we can't have too many. Like, I don't think that's the right solution to that conversation.
See, what are your thoughts on playoff format then? Like, for me, that's what I'd be looking at. Either adding in play-ins, having more teams make the playoffs, or changing the format, you know, 1-8, 1-16, something, you know, get crazy here. You want to talk about progressive and new fans and stuff like that. Like, don't you feel like something along those lines would be a little bit more exciting?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the play-in thing, you could convince me to have that conversation, but half the teams make the playoffs. Like, I don't think they need to make it any easier to make the playoffs. Like, half the teams make it. That's quite a few. And the other problem, and I get the 1-8 stuff, particularly topical in Toronto because they have a very difficult road to get there, even though they have the third best record in the league. But if you're going to get to the end of the line, you're going to have to beat those teams anyways. So I don't feel quite as offended by that as some. And the issue with 1-8 or 1-16 especially, what happens if you're first overall and you're Boston and the 16th place team is L.A.? Now your reward for being the best team is to have to fly cross-country for your first-round series. Like, that's not something that the teams will want to take on the travel of that kind of matchup. So I don't mind. I think I'm in the minority here, but I don't mind the current playoff format. I think I like the idea that Tampa and Florida might play each other more often. Edmonton and Calgary, Washington and Pittsburgh, Toronto and Boston, or Toronto and Tampa. Like, I'm okay with it. I know it's harder for Toronto, but it won't always be, but it is right now. But I don't mind the idea that best rivalries and most interest is drawn in the playoffs. If those teams can meet multiple times and be geographic rivals, which is more likely in the current format, I see the value in that.
Yeah, I think it's also the nature of the game, you know, is changed so much where I don't know if rivalries can exist the way that they could in the past. You know, it's just not as physical. There's no hatred anymore.
Tampa and Florida 2 years ago would prove otherwise, but not with the same regularity.
Right, and that was in the regular season. And there were times, you're right, leading into the playoffs, there were a couple of dust-ups.
Yeah, they played the first round of the playoffs the 1 year, and it was a hellacious series. Mm-hmm. You know, like, lots of stuff happening there. But, yeah, you're right. But, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think there's anything screaming at me, you got to change this to make the game better. I could do with, what about, like, another small thing, 8 minutes of overtime or 10 minutes of overtime just to have fewer shootouts. I could do with that, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone would sign off on that for sure, like from a fan perspective and viewing perspective, no question. All right, Johnny. Well, I mean, I'm sure you caught that Leaf-Bruin game last night. We've been asking. Yeah. We've been discussing it. You know, it's a one-off. It's a one game. It's not like Dubas is completely changing his plan because they lost to the Bruins last night. But what do you make of, you know, how the Leafs are built, how it's going to stack up against Tampa, and then if you get through, how you eventually stack up against Boston, likely in the second round?
Well, I mean, I would say they don't have Austin Matthews, and they're not going to beat Boston without Austin Matthews, right? So, like, that's the starting point. So you got to take that in consideration as you evaluate that game. Wasn't a great game for the Leafs, wasn't a great game for Samsonov, but I think the Leafs are 4-2 in the last 2 years against Boston. They have one of the best records in the entire NHL versus the Bruins in the last year and a half. So I'm not taking that game and saying, we're in trouble here. We can't compete with these guys. You know, it's not going to work. I'm not going to jump to that conclusion. You know, Sandin probably didn't have his best night. Fair enough. But when the goaltender is not as good as Boston's goalie, and Samsonov wasn't, that's going to be trouble. And when you don't have Austin Matthews, that's going to be trouble. If those two things are not that way, I like Toronto's chances to win in a series against Boston. So I don't think whatever Kyle Dubas was feeling or thinking beforehand, I don't think any of that's changed based on last night's game.
Yep, I don't think there's any doubt. Enjoy it down there, Johnny. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, either in Florida or on his way down to Florida. And the All-Star game this weekend.
He's got a good gig.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one down there.
That would have been a fun place to go, too. Just set up shop, put the studio out there.
Absolutely. Set up in South Florida?
Yeah, I think that would have been fun.
Yeah, it looks beautiful down there. We get the waste management next weekend, the Super Bowl next weekend. Everyone's going to great places.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to great places.
Except for us.
Except for us, yeah. All right, Mike Nolan will join us, former head coach in the NFL, NFL Network analyst. We'll get his take on the upcoming Super Bowl, his take on Brady, and what he makes of it in terms of the NFC, AFC, and quarterbacking situations throughout the league. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.